once you start getting on up in years and you start getting a little age on you, you start realizing there's some things about life that never change. And I will call this message the facts of life. When you hear people talk about the facts of life, you think they're talking about the birds and the bees and having babies and all that stuff, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the facts of life. Amen? And what this is talking about here is talking about a strange woman, but that ain't what I'm preaching on, but I'm going to take a verse out of this passage and give it to you. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. That's what I want to look at. That first part of verse 6 said, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. What he's saying is the path of a wild woman, unless you ponder the path of life, you can't know what she's doing to you. If every young man in the world would read Proverbs chapter 5 and chapter 6, really if you'd read the whole book of Proverbs and really take it to heart, you'd stay away from pretty women that flutter their eyes and smell good. You'd stay away from Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and all them women like that and marry you a homely, ugly girl that can make good cornbread and run around barefooted in the woods and knows how to skin a catfish. Amen? That's right, brother. You'd rather have one that can work, got corns on her feet, and knows how to cook and balance a checkbook. I'm glad I didn't marry an ugly one, thank God, but let me clear that up. But you'd be better off to marry an ugly one than to get a pretty one that you couldn't keep, one that's going to ruin your life. Boy, I've outruined my life right there. I start seeing my life flash before my eyes, and it's scary. But anyway, Christ, get out of here. Lord have mercy. I'm about sealing my doom right there before I got started. But anyway, I ain't preaching about none of that, but I'm just saying the facts of life. The Bible said, Job said, how shall a man prolong his life? He said, my life is like wind. David said, my enemies tread down my life. The psalmist said, show me the path in life. David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whosoever finds wisdom in Proverbs 8 finds life. Proverbs 13 said, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. If you keep your mouth, in other words, if you kind of keep discreet mouth, keep what you know to yourself. Don't blab and jab everything you know. Amen. Brother, listen. Oh, well, if I told everything I know, well, don't. We don't want to hear it. Amen. But the Bible said, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. But the Bible said, Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The Bible said, Proverbs 15, 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Understanding is a wellspring of life. Proverbs 16, the Bible talks a lot about life. Life. There is some facts of life that you learn. And brother, most people don't learn these. Some people spend their entire life and never learn the facts of life. I'm going to give you a few things this morning about life that you need to learn, and your mom and daddy ought to teach them to you, and you shouldn't have to go to school to learn them. But brother, listen, a good God-called Bible preacher should and will preach them to you. Brother, listen, you shouldn't have to go to school, to a public government school, to learn what I'm going to preach to you this morning. Brother, I'll tell you, it's a crying shame that kids go to a public school at the average government-run school, and they tell you that it's all right for two men to the two boys to love each other, and that's perfectly normal. They're lying. They're lying. They're lying. It's not normal. It's abnormal. Brother, listen, it's strange flesh. It's ungodly, and it's wicked. There's nothing normal about that. Nothing normal about it. Dogs don't do it. Cats don't do it. Birds and fish, none of those things in the reproductive system in nature do those kinds of things. Human beings wouldn't do it if they wasn't possessed with evil spirits. Say, preacher, I just don't agree with that. Well, you can hit the door if you don't agree with it, because it's the Bible. It's a crying shame that little kids get brainwashed. Brother, I'll tell you the facts of life. I'll give you this number one. Life is a gift, brother. Amen. It's a gift. Amen. The Bible said, Acts 17:25, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. I'm glad he's the giver of life, and life is a gift. God gave us all life. I realize this morning we're alive because it's a gift. God gave it to us. We're alive this morning because our heart's beating and our lungs are working and the blood's running through our bodies. It's because it's a gift. God gave us life. Hey, brother, you ain't got no right. Listen, if you mess up your life and you girls get pregnant, you don't have the right to abort that or terminate that pregnancy. It's a gift, God. Listen, you might have done something you shouldn't have done, but you don't have the right to terminate something. Listen, brother and sister, the only thing you can do is make the best out of a bad situation. Amen, amen, brother. Life is a gift, the Bible said. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. I'm glad God gave me life. You might say, but life ain't worth living. I've heard teenage punks say that before. Let's be honest, everybody said that before at some point in your life. You get discouraged, you get depressed, lose a job, flipping burgers, and say life ain't worth living. Your little pimple-faced boyfriend breaks up with you, and life ain't worth living. You ought to rejoice and have a party. Your girlfriend breaks up with you. My God, you ought to throw a party. That's right. Life ain't worth living. But I guarantee you, you grow a lump somewhere in your body. And the doctor says, we don't know what that is. We'll have to go in and do a biopsy. You'll change your tune, bless God Almighty. You'll start praying and you'll say, I didn't mean that. Hey, brother, life is a gift. You'll say, oh, God, I didn't mean it. I do want to live. I want to get better. I want to be well again. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to leave this whole world. Life is a gift, brother. You better thank God you're here. I know this is a mixed up, messed up world. And our nation seems like it leads the world in sin. But I'd still rather be here than to be anywhere else. I love America, and I love to see the flag. I love to see the flag waving. And I still love to hear them sing the Star Spangled Banner. I still love seeing F-16s fly over the stadium when they sing the Star Spangled Banner or God Bless America. I still love the United States, and I'm still glad I'm here. Amen. I stood over Mom and Daddy's grave last week, and I was standing there with tears in my eyes. It might sound crazy, but I said, Daddy, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still preaching. I'm trying to give it everything I got. I ain't doing a whole lot of good. I'm not doing great, but I'm still here. I'm glad I'm alive. Thank God, brother. Life is a gift. You young people, I want to seize the moment and be thankful that you're here and do what you can with what God's given you to work with. My God, if I had your energy and what little tiny bit of sense you got, I'd turn the world upside down. You don't know how blessed you are to be, to have so much energy and so little bit of knowledge. That's a blessing. Knowledge puffeth up. You get a lot of knowledge, it ruins you. You get so smart, you ain't no good anymore. It's a blessing to be stupid. You don't realize it. Ain't it? Ain't it right there, right, Tootie? See? Ignorance is bliss, ain't it, brother? See, me and him knows it. We're ignorant. We know it. We're happy about it. Glory to God. We're the village idiots, ain't we? Hey, brother, I know I'm ignorant, and I'm glad of it. I see, I've gone through life for years, acting like I don't know nothing. How you think these people help me do stuff? How you do that? I know how to do it. I just step back and watch them, Brother Sam. A lot of doggone, is that how that works? If I finally can't get no help, I just do it. But I make sure ain't nobody around. Hey, man. That's right, brother. I catch my wife rebuilding stuff sometimes. She says, ain't that where the pressure plate goes up against the clutch and the full out bearing? And I go, what? What? What'd you say? Nothing. I said, ain't that the prettiest bird up on that tree? She knows how to do that junk. Woman, go in there and get that wheel puller and get back out here. She goes, don't go in. I know I shouldn't tell him that. Ignorance is bliss. Life is a gift. The ignorance wasn't in my sermon outline, but that's a good point. Number two, another fact of life. Life is passing, people. Life is passing. It's constantly moving. Job said, he draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is sure of life. It's moving. It's constantly moving. Listen, your life is changing every day. Listen, I know that you think every day is going to be like today, but it ain't going to be. When you're 18, 19 years old, you make decisions that will last until you're 75. But in 2 years, you'll look at life differently. 24 months. I promise you, when you're 17, you're in love. Can't live without Him. Oh, God, I can't sleep. And you write His name on everything. On your wall, tattoo His name on your body. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. We had a woman at our church tattooed a guy's name on her foot. And he left her. His name was Mark. So she put Mark 13, 14 or something like that. Changed it to a verse of Scripture. Debbie said, what was you going to do if his name had been Jethro? What was you going to do? She tattooed a sunrise on the back of her back hair. Debbie said, you made a big mistake right there putting a tramp stamp on your back. She said, why? She said, what are you going to do when you get old and it's a sunset? All that starts sagging. People don't think, brother. She said, you're young and pretty now. What are you going to do when you're 60 and all them wrinkles and all stuff's been hanging way down here? And the sunset's down bumping the back of your kneecaps. Yeah, I'm telling you, life is passing, brother. All that stuff may look cool when you're young. I got a tattoo right here. Y'all don't even know that, did you? I got a big old spider. It looked cool when I was 18. It looks stupid now. The spider was bright red and blue. Now it looks like a sick little fat angel. Faded. The red is faded to pink. It looks gay. I'd take a sand and take it off if I was man enough to stand the pain. I ain't kidding you, brother. That's stupid. Why don't you get a spider? Because I said, how much can you get for a $20 bill? Oh, you have that spider? Or Mr. Whatchamacallim over there, or Casper the Friendly Ghost. I'll take this spider. It looks cool. At the time, it seemed like a good idea. But when I sobered up, I said, that's stupid. Now, all these years later, I got kids. And every time my kids looked at me when they was little, Daddy, why'd you get that spider? I'm like, oh. Life is passing, brother. And now, listen, I'm saying life is moving. Life is passing. It don't stand still. It don't wait on you. It keeps moving. It keeps changing. Number three, life is changing. My next point, you look at things differently. You approach things differently. You care about things you didn't care for. Your priorities change. Life is changing. It's not only moving, but it's changing completely. I remember I used to think when I was young, certain things was just the most important thing in the world. Now I don't even care. Amen. I could care less. I used to think, you would think I'm crazy. I used to think how I wore my hair. I used to drive to church since I was a preacher. Before, when I had some hair, I'd ride to church with the windows up before and didn't have air conditioning. And sweat going to church just so the wind wouldn't mess my hair up. Amen. Going to church. Crack the window just a little bit so it wouldn't mess my hair up and right down the road like this. Just so it wouldn't mess up my hair. Going to church. We took a trip to Jamaica, went down there to preach, and I started cutting it real short, and I come back and I said, you know what? Who gives a rip? And I got one of them buzz things and started buzzing. Debbie said, what did you do? And I started buzzing. I said, who cares? I'm married. I ain't trying to impress nobody. I got a beautiful wife. I ain't trying to catch a woman. I started buzzing that junk. When I was in Jamaica for about a week, I had to fix my hair. I got up and just towel dried. I said, hey, I like this. Yeah, all I had to do was shave a little bit, and I quit shaving even. I don't even shave no more. I quit shaving, quit fixing my hair. Now I just brush my teeth, and when they fall out, I don't want to do that. I might even quit bathing pretty soon. Both been taking a bath. No, she said, no, I ain't going to do that. That's what I'm saying. Brother, your priorities change. Life changes. I'm just saying life is different as you go along. Life changes and you can't help it. You can't stop it. Your body will change. Well, you say, bless God, I'll take on the world. You might think you will. You might think you'll be Superman, but you won't. You might think you're Superman, but one day you won't even be the boy wonder. We as kids, we'd put on a cape, take one of Mama's towels and wrap it around and jump off the woodshed. Now I want him to get on a ladder and climb on the woodshed. I'll pay somebody to get up there and do something. I ain't getting up on no woodshed. You understand what I'm saying? Number four, life is unpredictable. One fact I know about life, Brother Sam, it's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. Guess what? We're going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, but you know something? Some of us might not come back. Some of us might not make it back. It might be that none of us make it back. It might be that we come back tonight and this church ain't even here. The Bible said, Job said, he draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up and no man is sure of life. You know, Job said a lot about life because of what happened to him. Life's unpredictable. I know I've told this story, but we had a guy in our community one time. He was about 24, about Travis's age. And he got married. He had this little, had a baby about a year old. And I tried to get him in church and went and visited him. Tried to lead him to the Lord, and he's a nice guy. And they just built a house, I believe it was, just had built a house, and him and his wife, just a young couple, and his daddy-in-law had this business, and they used to go to our church, and we was trying to get them back in, and trying to get that boy saved, and his nice people, and everybody liked them. And I just couldn't get him to get in church. And one morning they called me, and they said that boy got hurt. And I went over, and he'd been jumping off a tractor with his pickup truck, and the tractor cranked, and it was in gear. And instead of, I don't know what he did, he just ran around the tractor to move his truck, and that tractor ran over him and killed him. Pinned him under and just killed him. And his wife's standing there holding the baby. And him laying under it, he was hollering, get it off of me, get it off of me. She could do nothing but just stand there and watch him die. You know what that is? You don't know what's going to happen. Life's unpredictable. We're all sitting here, and we might all go through life, and every one of us live to be 90 years old. But you don't know what's going to happen. There could be somebody sitting right here this morning and cancer's in your body right now fixing to finish you off. Could be me. You could have a few heartbeats left, or I could. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, life's unpredictable, brother. Life is short, and life is unpredictable, and you never know what's going to happen. You don't know exactly where you're going to be. So the key to life is stay on track and do right because it's unpredictable, man. I mean, yours is like walking through a landmine. You don't know what's going to happen. My sister met a young preacher. My sister never dated, never. She was raised up in a preacher's home, and daddy didn't let neither one of my sisters date. He didn't let boys pull up in the yard and toot the horn. He didn't let boys come to their house. If he approved of them, they came to their house and sat in the living room and talked to the whole family. That's how they did it in the old days. And if he wanted to court her, he could come sit beside her at church where he could keep an eye on them. And if they didn't like that, hit the road, Jack. Amen. So she got married when she was about 20, 21. She married this young man, and he became a preacher. And he come from a nice family. And his daddy was a preacher, pastor of the church. And so my sister looked like fell into a gold mine. And everything looked rosy, and he got a church. He started pastoring a nice church. And then he went from that church to a big church. Had a lot of money. And things looked like, I mean, they went uptown. I'll show you how unpredictable life is. Things started going south for him. And come to find out, he had started having an affair. And then her health started going down. And she started getting depressed and got on antidepressants and pain pills and nerve pills. And it's a long story. And she died at 45 years old of a broken heart. 45. But now when she met him and they first took off in that carriage, a horse-drawn carriage, it's like a fairy tale wedding. And he's pastoring that church and his name's in the paper all the time. And then they moved into that big church up in the mountains. Big church. It looked like success was wrote all over their lives. And then a bomb dropped in it. You know what that shows you? Life's unpredictable. Then this other woman came along. Pow, it just blew to smithereens. What about this recent tragedy nearby? Who would have thought those young people, just in their 20s, a few years ago when they got married, nobody would have ever dreamed anything like this would have happened just a couple of weeks ago. Life's unpredictable, man. You don't know what's going to happen. Life's unpredictable. Number five, let me say this. Life is choices. You're where you're at this morning because of the choices you make. There's folks that's not in church. There's folks that don't have a good relationship with the Lord because of the choices they've made. There's folks that's where they're at, and they say, "Well, this is where I'm at because of this and because of that," and they blame this and blame that. But it's really not about that. It's about the choices you've made. I know people all the time saying, "Well, the reason I'm so messed up, my daddy beat me," and I know that stuff in your past can mess you up. I understand that. But you know what? You can rise above that stuff. Anybody can. Man, I know people have been through some bad stuff, and they rose above it. Anybody can. I mean, them people in the Bible, I mean, you look at Paul and all them apostles and stuff they went through. I mean, they killed them. They drug them through the street and skinned them alive and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, just because your daddy wouldn't give you chocolate ice cream, made you eat vanilla, you're going to mess up your life the rest of your life, sit around whining about it. It won't work, won't pay your bills, and you're going to complain and whine. That ain't no excuse. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Don't make the rest of everybody's life miserable because you had a bad childhood. Don't be miserable, and don't punish yourself and everybody else because of something happened in your past. I mean, look forward and forget what's behind you. Life's about choices. Make the right choice and live with it. I always try to teach our kids, when you make a bad choice, just own it. It's yours. Just try to make the next one. Try to make a better choice and go on and own up to it and just go on and try to do better. Don't blame the rest of the world on your bad choice. Amen. Number six, life is short. Boy, ain't that the truth. You don't realize that as much until you get a little older. Y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. Daddy, you say it all the time. Boy, older you get, the faster life's going by. I used to think he's crazy, you know, but it really does seem that way. Amen. Older you get, the faster it's moving. Faster. You get closer. You know, it's like that on the tombstone, you know, it's got the, you see that date where somebody's born and that date where they died, that little dash in the middle? That's your life, that little dash. Our days on earth is a shadow. Job said, "Remember that my life is wind." Psalmist said, "For my days are consumed like smoke." It's like grass. The Bible said it grows up and then it's just cut down. All the grass, Brother DeWitt, that you cut last summer, all this grass just kept growing, kept cutting, kept cutting, kept cutting. Then all of a sudden it's gone. Like smoke coming up off the fire. It just comes up and then it's gone. It's like that's life. People that were here, such a part of our lives, they're gone. It's hard to believe, ain't it? Short. Life's short, man. Make the best of it. While he comes to the pen, I'll give you this last, number seven. The fact of life is yours. Life is yours. It's up to you. You know, your life is yours. Ain't nothing I can do with your life. Well, preacher, it's your fault. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. And it's no, it ain't. It's your life. This is yours. You have to make your own choices. Your choices always affect other people, and you have to live with your own choices. And once your life is over, you can't come back. Your life is your life. It ain't mine. My life is mine. The way my life's turned out, the route, the road that I chose and the road I've traveled is mine. There ain't nothing you can do about it. And when I stand before God, I can't say, "Lord, them people at Grace Baptist Church held me back." He'll say, "That's the road you took. That's the road you chose. They didn't make you do nothing." Amen. This is my life. I'm here because of the choices I made, and I'm living my life. You got to live your life. Don't let nobody else live your life. Don't let nobody else tell you, you got to do this and you got to do that. What you live is up to you. It's between you and God. Well, society says we got to do this. You don't got to do nothing. You got to operate by the dictates of your heart and your conscience. And you know what's right and wrong if you live by what the Bible says. Because you got to face God, and we don't care what the government says and what society says and what the television says, what Hollywood says. We could care less about any of that stuff because they're wrong 99% of the time. You know, the majority rules, but the majority most of the time is wrong. Amen? Most of the time they're wrong. So, your life is yours, and you just gotta decide what you're going to do with it. Young people especially, when you get on up in years and you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you've already lived your life. But you young people need to be thinking about it, what you're going to do with your life. Amen. You really need to think about it. "Well, preacher, I got plenty of time." No, you don't. No, you don't. If you're 15 years old right now, or 16 or 17, you better be deciding right now what you're going to do with your life. Because the time you get 20, guess what? It's almost too late because you've already set your course on what you're going to do. And once you get your course set and you start down that road, it's hard to turn it around. Once you fall in love and get married and you get a career course set, I mean, you can make some changes, but once you get... Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Everybody in here, every adult in here knows what I'm talking about. Once you get a certain path, once you get married and have a couple kids, you tell me how easy it is to change that. Tell me how easy it is to change that. You can't. You can't. Because you're chained to that person till the day you die. Till the day you die. Oh, I can make changes later. You need to make up your mind right now what you're going to do with your life. And do the right thing, and do what God wants you to do, whatever that career choice is, or whatever college it is, or whatever work you're going to do, and serve God, live for God, make God your number one priority, and serve Him, and stay with it until the day you die. And God will honor that and bless that. I had a woman in my office one day. She said, I don't know what to do. And I told her what to do. It's real simple. It ain't brain surgery, brother. I could tell a rocket scientist sitting in my office how to straighten his life out in 5 minutes. I ain't a genius. I can tell you how to do it. And then she still kept crying and said, I just don't know what to do. My wife said, He just told you. Commit your way to the Lord. Go to church, read your Bible, and pray. Put God number one in your life. And don't ever change that course. And your life will change. Less than 30 days, you'll see a difference. I said, I guarantee it. Stake my life on it. I'll give you everything I own, sign every title, every car, and everything I own, my house, everything, if you don't see a difference in less than 30 days. It'll work. Amen. Pay your tithes, go to church. Every time a door's open, I guarantee you it'll work. You know what she did? Got up and walked out, and I ain't seen her since. She ain't willing to try it. You know what people want? They want to roll up her sleeves, and you give her a quick fix, an emergency microwave, automatic instant. It don't work like that. You come to this old-fashioned altar and commit your way to Him and say, look, Lord, my life is your life now. And if you say give 90%, that's what I'm giving. And if you say go to church four times a week, that's what I'm going to do. And if you say never work on Sunday, bless God Almighty, I ain't never working on Sunday. That's what we're going to do. If that's what it takes. That's what I made a decision to do 35 years ago. It's worked for me. Are you rich? Nope, but I'm happy. You just got to commit your way to Him and make up your mind what you're going to do because this is your life. Amen. And then you can live with yourself and then you can face Him.